Hey, you're listening to the Encounter Church podcast. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit us at ecdenver.org, or you can find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Thank you for listening.
Hi there, Encounter Church. It's Pastor Reese. Welcome to our Wednesday night service. And tonight I'm continuing our series on living a red letter life. And it's how we create a lifestyle that is able to endure the challenges that life throws at us, that the enemy throws at us. And, you know, why it's so important to understand that how we create one that's really survivable and strong is by following the teachings of Christ. And tonight, I really want to talk about what Jesus said about faith. And faith, in its most simplistic explanation, is what we expect to happen. What do I expect to happen? And for most of us, our faith, our expectations, are based on what our experiences have been and how people have treated us. So it's our experiences, you know, our cause and effect, how we've behaved and the results we've seen from our actions, and how we've seen other people behave, whether they've been honest with us, whether they've been deceitful with us. And what I want to do is take a look at what Christ wants to do to help us change our expectations based on our obedience to His teachings and our interactions with Him as a person. All right? So when we talk about faith, you need to understand, first of all, who I am as a pastor and what my theological history is and who we are as a congregation, a church, and particularly if you're watching us online, is we came out of something called the Word Faith Movement. It began in the 1950s and 60s. It was men like Oral Roberts and Kenneth Hagin Sr. And it in that season, those men began to have what at the time was a really radical concept. They began to take the words that Jesus spoke that are recorded in all the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but particularly in Matthew 11:22, which says that you can pray for anything, and if you have faith, you will receive it. And in its most simplistic fashion, it simply says this, that God is a good God. He loves us. He wants to help us so that as He interacts with us and as He challenges us to follow His teachings, we should expect good things from obedience. Likewise, when we go to God with our needs, when we go to God in prayer and say, Father, would you help me with this? Would you, you know, open up an opportunity for me? Would you help me deal with this difficult person or this difficult situation? We should expect that His answer is, of course I want to help you. Of course I want to show you how to get out of the jam that you find yourself in. And it's simply believing that God loves us and He cares for us, and He wants to show us a better way of living. Now, that's the foundation of the Word Faith Movement, and that's who I am, and I believe that. And you're going to have a hard time talking me out of it because that's been my experience. I freely admit that as the Word Faith Movement continued, it got into some excess, and it got into things that normally happen when people are involved in something. People's flesh gets involved in our selfishness and our greed and our hedonism, and we all have it. Who are we kidding? And it begins to change things. And so, you know, there was a natural pushback and a realignment. But the fundamental message of the Word Faith Movement, which is that you can expect good things from God. You can expect that if you are asking for anything according to His will, it'll be done for you of your Father who is in heaven. And that's what Jesus taught. And so as we think about that, you know, I really want to ask you and ask me and ask everybody, what is it that we can do that will help grow our faith and grow our expectations of good things happening in our lives? And, you know, I think it's okay for us to be at that place where we have questions and we're having doubts. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is the story of the father who had the child who was an epileptic, and it says he was demon-possessed, but he manifested in what would appear to be epileptic seizures, and it would throw him in the fire and throw him into the water, and he'd gone to the disciples and said, hey, can you cast out this devil? And they couldn't, and he finally came to Jesus and said, if you're willing, you can do that, and this is how Jesus answered him. He said, look, what do you mean, if I can? Anything is possible if a person believes. And the father instantly cried out and says, I do believe, but could you help me overcome my unbelief? And that's how we are. We know what the Word teaches, or we've heard the sermons, and we know that it is true that what Matthew and Mark and Luke recorded is from the words of Christ, and we can ask Him for anything. But we don't always believe we're going to receive it. And so we're asking Christ this night to help our unbelief. Well, one of the problems we have with our unbelief is we question our own righteousness. We question our own salvation. And I want you to understand that Jesus has promised you righteousness, not based on your works, not based on anything that you do, simply based on His love for you. In Matthew 10:32, it says, "Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven." Have you acknowledged Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you said, you know, "Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you were born. I believe you lived. I believe you were put to death. And I believe you resurrected. And I believe there was a purpose in your life. And that purpose wasn't just to model good behavior, but it was to die on the cross for my sins." And if you've publicly acknowledged that, you don't have to worry about whether you're good enough for God to answer your prayers. You don't have to worry about whether you're righteous or not, because in the eyes of God, you are righteous, not because of your own righteousness, but you're literally clothed, you're cloaked with the righteousness of Christ. You are saved. You're adopted into the family of God. And yet so many times we change our expectations of our prayers. We change the faith that we have based on our behaviors, whether or not we watched the wrong program, or whether or not we were with the wrong people, or whether or not we didn't tithe this week, or we didn't do whatever we were supposed to do this week. And because we look at our behaviors and we look down on ourselves and we judge ourselves, we think that somehow we disqualify ourselves from the grace of God. Now, I'm not saying it's okay to keep doing wrong things. I'm not saying that. Please hear me. In fact, that nothing could be further from my beliefs. But I am saying that you and I, if we have publicly acknowledged Christ, are children of God. And we don't have to be ashamed or afraid that somehow God is going to turn His back on us and just simply ignore us. In fact, I love what Jesus said in John 3. Most people know John 3:16, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave His only one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life." But if you continue in that passage down into John 18, 19, 20, 21, He says this. He says, "There is no judgment against anyone who believes in Him." Can you imagine that? There's no judgment against you. Anyone who doesn't believe in Him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. That's the only thing that really brings judgment into our life. It's not how we live. It's whether we believe that Jesus is offering us His grace and we accept that, and that He really is Lord. And if you believe that, then you're qualified for God to not only hear your prayers, but answer your prayers and help you experience the transformation that He so desperately wants you to experience, to get yourself out of that bad situation, to get yourself out of that cycle of repetitive failure and break free so that you can follow Christ and live the abundant life He wants for you to live. You know, one of the things that I know that many Christians in charismatic churches struggle with is their own relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, I was having coffee today with a friend, and we were talking about our own experiences with the Holy Spirit, and I was very transparent. I said, "Look, I got Spirit-filled, which means I began to pray in tongues 3 weeks after I became a Christian, and I don't think I would have been able to do that if I hadn't experienced that early in my walk with Christ, because, you know, I just know how I'm wired up. I'm somewhat closed to new things." But God keeps shaking up my world and saying, "You should be open to new things, Reese." So he was sharing with me about his walk with Christ. He got saved in the army, and he you know, grew in Christ and was part of a church. But, you know, he kept looking around and seeing other people have this incredible encounter with the Holy Spirit. And he kept wondering, "Well, why am I not having an encounter with the Holy Spirit? I want to see more miracles in my life. I want to experience, you know, hearing the voice of God in different ways and new ways. I want to begin to know when God gives me a word of encouragement or a word of, you know, just a word of love for somebody else that would encourage and build their faith." And he was up in a meeting he was sharing with me up in northern Colorado, and you know, that the minister was ministering, and he said, "I had this epiphany." I said, "I just that day in that service, I said, I want this." He never went down front and got the speaker to pray for me. He just turned to his buddy who was with him, and he said, I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray that I receive the Holy Spirit. And the guy just looked at him and goes, well, I've never done that. And he said, well, you know, Jesus said that he would send another advocate to us. And it says that in John 14, 16. So I'm just asking you to lay hands on me so that I receive the Holy Spirit. And he stepped out in faith. And he said, I was literally hit with something that I've never felt before. And I was thrown to the floor. And I began to cry. My nose was running. And it was just an incredible experience, unlike anything I had ever had happened to me in all the years that I had been a Christian. And it opened up the door for an entirely new relationship with God, which changed his expectation of his prayer life, because he had a fresh understanding of the Holy Spirit in his life. And I believe tonight, as you're watching this, God wants you to be open to having a fresh understanding of the Holy Spirit in your life, so that the Spirit of God can come into you in a different way and begin to change what it is that you see God doing in you, how you perceive the world, and what it is you expect from your prayers and from your obedience to Jesus' teaching. And living a Spirit-led life is unlike, oh man, how can I say this? I don't want to say this wrong, but living a life where you're led by the Spirit is sometimes difficult, sometimes sacrificial, but it's always interesting. And it's always amazing, because no matter what it is God asks you to do, you always see that your obedience and you're stepping out in faith to trust him and trust that he loves you opens up opportunities for amazing, miraculous experiences that you would never have any other way if you weren't sensitive to that voice that says, just do this. You know, he and I were talking about the fact that various things that happened in our careers, and we were talking about financial breakthroughs, and he was sharing with me that he'd gone through a financial reversal, and he just, you know, he goes, God, I don't see how this can turn around. And God just kept telling him to trust. So he began to ask. He said, okay, God, show me how to turn this whole financial thing around. And he literally said, I was in church one day, and we were talking. I shared with somebody, well, you know, I've had this financial reversal. I'm looking for a change. And the guy said, well, you too, so have I. And the guy had told him, you know, you've lost. How much did you lose? And he told him, he said, well, I've lost millions. But you see this guy over there? He's really helping me recover it. And he said, and that guy led him to somebody else who led him to somebody else. And the Holy Spirit has re-put together his whole business plan. And he's seen a supernatural transformation simply by learning to hear the voice of the Spirit of God. And so right now, as you're watching, I just pray that the Holy Spirit would come on you in a fresh way. But I want you to pray this as well. I want you to simply open up your hands and say, Holy Spirit, come on me in a fresh way, because I want to have new experiences with obeying Christ, and I want the Spirit of God to open me up to new truths so that I can grow my faith and change my expectations. That's my prayer. You know, speaking of growing our faith, did you know it's okay to admit that sometimes you have doubts and fears and anxieties? Did you know that the disciples had doubts and fears and anxieties, and they personally watched Christ do all kinds of supernatural things, things that you and I haven't seen? You know, there's two experiences, one in Matthew 8 and one in Matthew 14, where Jesus is talking to his crew, his 12 guys that are around him. And on the first experience in Matthew 8, they're crossing the Sea of Galilee, and there's a storm. And most of you know this. Jesus is asleep on the back, and they wake him up, and they say, look, we're drowning. Don't you care? And he walks out, and he goes, why are you afraid? You have so little faith. And he rebukes the wind and the waves, and everything's cool. And you sit there, and you sort of think, well, I wouldn't have been that way if I had been a disciple. But the truth is, we're all human. And what I take from that verse is that, yeah, we should have more confidence in God, particularly if we've been saved a while, because we've seen God do so many cool things in our life. Why do we think that he's going to stop doing cool things? And yet, as a human, you know, I know you answered my prayer last time, and I know you answered my prayer the time before, but I'm not 100% sure you're going to answer my prayer now. And what Jesus wants us to know is that there's no reason for us to doubt him If he was faithful in the past, he's going to be faithful in the future. And the second time is Peter's getting out of the boat to walk on the water. You've probably even seen pictures of that. And there's a storm, and Peter said, if that's you, Jesus, because they see Jesus walking up to the boat they're in, if that's really you and not a ghost, let me get out of the water, out of the boat and walk. And so Peter walks out in the water, and everything's cool until he looks at the storm, and then he loses his faith, and he starts to sink, and Jesus grabs him, and he says, you have so little faith, why do you doubt me? And I think about Peter, and I think about the times that I've stepped out in faith, and then suddenly things started going apart, and I keep floundering, and, oh, God, come rescue me. And I wonder if I'm really just like Peter at times, and Jesus is just going, hey, Reese, you know, why did you doubt me? I told you it was going to be okay. And I think in your life it's the same way. Maybe you've stepped out of a boat. Maybe you've taken a risk. Maybe you've done something. And suddenly you just begin to say, have I lost my mind? What am I doing out here? This seems crazy. And you've noticed that then things start to change because your expectations changed. If that's you tonight and you're saying that, you know, I'm going through that, don't be condemned. Don't feel bad. Just let God reach out and grab a hold of you and pull you back up to his bosom. Pull you back up close and say, look, I told you I'd take care of you. Go ahead and walk on the water with me. Take the step of faith. Don't give up. This isn't the season for you to quit and go backwards. This is for the season for you to reach up to God and say, I believe and I'm going to keep believing. And don't let your failures stop you from continuing to follow, because God will help you pick yourself up no matter how many times you fall down. You know, the apostles struggled with this whole concept of just trusting in Jesus, even up into the resurrection. And there's this famous scene where Jesus, you know, rebukes this. He's entered into Jerusalem, and there's this fig tree, and he tries to get fruit from it. It's the wrong season. He rebukes it, and the fig tree withers and dies overnight. And they're like, oh, wow, that's amazing. And he just tells the apostles, if you had faith, you know, you could do this. It goes back to that Matthew 10 story about it. You know, if you have faith, you can ask for anything. And in Luke 17, verses 5 and 6, the apostles say to the Lord, show us how to increase our faith. And Jesus answers them in the most interesting way to me. He says, look, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, may you be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. What the heck does that have to do with growing our faith? And yet that's the answer that Christ gave. And what I believe what Jesus is saying about faith is this, is look, you don't need more faith. What you need to do is begin to exercise the faith that you have. Begin to listen to my teachings and follow them and see what happens. Because if you just study the letters in red and study how Jesus wants you to treat people and how Jesus wants you to interact with people and the kind of lifestyle he's calling us all to live, if we'll begin to put those teachings into practice, we'll begin to see good things happen in our life. And it changes our expectations and it grows our faith. It's those are the mustard seeds that are sitting in our hearts that Jesus is saying that as you read the Word, as you listen to pastors and other people teach the Word of God to you, you know, that they're going to challenge you to do things like forgive. They're going to challenge you to begin to stop confessing negative things, to stop saying, well, it's all going to suck. This is going to go bad. This is going to be awful. To begin to watch your words and to begin to speak positive things. They're going to challenge you to change how you spend your money, to not spend it so much on things here and now, but begin to think about, how do I steward these things? How do I put money aside for the future, for me and my family? How do I invest in things that will grow the kingdom and things that will also grow my business? And, you know, how do I do things, you know, differently based on how Jesus teaches us how to live? And if we'll do those things, you know, we will begin to see mulberry trees uprooted, metaphorically. And as we begin to see those things change in our lives, it will change our expectations, because we will see that Jesus is absolutely faithful. He is absolutely true. When he teaches us, this is how you should live your life, we don't have to question whether he's trying to ask us to do something that's going to hurt us. He's asking us to do something that will bring blessings in our life and cause our lives to be a blessing to others, which changes our expectations because it also changes our experiences, and we grow our faith. And those are Jesus's letters in red around the subject of faith, which is foundational to experiencing everything that God has for you. You know, before I close tonight, I just want to finish with a prayer request. You know, I said that verse in Matthew, you know, where it says that you can pray for anything, and if you have faith, you will receive it. That's Matthew 21:22. I really do believe that. And so as you're watching tonight, or whenever you're watching this, I just want to ask you, what do you need God to do for you? What do you need God to do? What is it that you can't do for yourself? Maybe it's give you a desire to stop doing something that's self-destructive. Maybe it's to give you the strength to stop doing something that's self-destructive. Well, whatever it is, maybe it's a new job, maybe it's a better relationship with your spouse, I want you to step out in faith tonight and ask God for it. But then don't just ask Him for it. Ask Him, what is the step of faith? What is the obedience? What is the different behavior you're asking me to embrace? And then be willing to see the transformation. I know that if you change how you spend your money, good things will happen in your life. I know if you change how you talk to your spouse, better things will happen in your marriage. I know if you change how you parent your kids, and follow the teachings of the Word and teachings of Christ, you'll bring more peace and more tranquility and, frankly, more functionality to your family. I know if you work differently than you have been working and work more like Jesus teaches us to work, you'll see your boss have a much better attitude towards you. I know all those things are true because I've seen all those things happen in the lives of people who have chosen to follow the teachings of Christ, put their faith in Him, and they've seen everything transformed, and so their expectations are totally different. That's my encouragement to you. Whatever you need God to do, be willing to ask Him, but also be willing to do what He tells you to do to bring that promise into a reality. This is Pastor Reese. We love you. God bless you. Just as I'm closing, there, I believe, is a young woman. I think you're somewhere between 18 and 21, and you're in your first serious relationship with someone, and you're not sure whether or not this is the person you should marry or not. And I feel like God is going to lead you to an older person who is wiser, who has a more objective viewpoint in this, and it's somebody that isn't manipulative, and they're not controlling. They're somebody who is independent, and they have no axe to grind in this. But if you ask God to lead you to that person who's older and wiser, who can give you a better perspective on it, they're going to help you make the right decision about this relationship. And that's just a word of knowledge I feel I have for somebody. If that's you and you want to email me at ec@ecdenver.org, please feel free to do it. But God bless you, and we will see you on Sunday.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit ecdenver.org or find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram.